Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Sermon series that we're looking at is from Ephesians, of course it's a letter from prison. And one of the theme verses for the whole series is that chapter 1 verse 3, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Kind of find that phrase several times, but when you think about Paul being in prison and he keeps saying that, like, wow, that is powerful. So today we're looking at chapter 3, and the word that has stood out to me and kind of grabbed my attention was the word stewardship. And of course we find it in verse 2, and it's kind of interesting. So I'm going to not read the whole chapter, but I'm going to skip around. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I'm going to skip down to verse 8, and then we'll pick it up again at verse 14. If you notice, verse 1 begins, "For this reason I, Paul..." And then he talks about the stewardship of the gospel. He gets sidetracked for about 13 verses until he talks about the gospel. And then he comes back in verse 14 and says, "For this reason I bow my..." So he really picks it up again at where he started. So that's what we're going to read. So verses 1 and 2, verse 8, and then 14 through 19. Hear the word of God. "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God." Amen. Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being a child of God. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and you have seated us in heavenly places with you in Christ Jesus. Hide me behind the cross, O Lord, that you might speak. Forgive me for my shortcomings as a dad, as a pastor, as a man of God, but also, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with all the fullness of God in Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, well, the scripture that I want us to use as a memory verse and kind of a focus for this message is verse 2. And, of course, that's where the word stewardship comes from. Would you recite this with me? "You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you." Ephesians 3:2. The stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you. That's kind of an interesting twist. Well, we fathers, we can say the dumbest things. You know, just like the dad jokes. You know, I really like that first dad joke. I've probably, since I first saw the video, I've shared that dad's joke a half a dozen times. And I kind of get the same rolling eyes, like, oh, really, this is so stupid. But I still think it's cute, so. And my son, if he ever starts golfing, I will buy him a pair of socks. But anyway, our children, they do that. They roll their eyes. They think, oh, boy, you know, what's dad going to say next? And some of that stuff. But... we are not the numbskulls, the cavemen, the idiots that we are portrayed on television and in the movies. I know in this day, in this culture, men of God especially are being portrayed as the biggest jerks, idiots, uncaring people in the world. And men, we have fallen short. I get that. But I'm telling you, we are not that. There's a whole lot of that other side of that video in us. We are self-sacrificing, we are loving, encouraging, hardworking men who try to do the best we can for our families. And so with that said, let us turn our attention to the idea of stewardship. I believe fatherhood is a stewardship, but we'll get to that. Looking at verse 2, Paul says, "You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you." Stewardship, Paul was given a very unique privilege, but also a responsibility. And that was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Actually, he was called by God to preach the gospel to the kings, to Gentiles, to the Jews, I mean, to all the world. And actually, most of the New Testament has some connection to Paul. Either it's about what he did or it's written from him to churches. And the idea of stewardship, the word stewardship, sometimes it's translated in the Bible administration, because stewardship is really using or managing the possessions of another person. Okay, something that isn't yours, you are entrusted with. That's what stewardship is. So managing the possessions of another person. And the word, I don't always get hung up on the Greek, but the word there is oikonomia. Oikonomia is the word in Greek, and it comes from the word oikos. The word oikos is the word for house, all right? And so really the word oikonomia, the word stewardship, can be administration of a house, or it is the management of household affairs. Remember when Joseph was arrested, when he sold into slavery by his brothers, and he ends up, and what was he in charge? He became in charge of Potiphar, the general's household. So he was like a manager. He was a steward of the house. He was in charge. And then when he got, you know, falsely accused and ends up in jail, then what happened? Well, then he became the manager. Sometimes they call him trustees. He became the manager of the jail. And so, not that he owned anything, he wasn't even free, but he was in charge of things. And so that's the idea of a steward. So when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about how well am I managing something that's not mine, but it has been given to me, it's been entrusted to me. Okay, so that's what we're thinking about. So the gospel was entrusted to Paul. It wasn't his. Now we receive the gospel, we experience the forgiveness of the good news, but it's not ours. God designed the plan of salvation, amen? And Jesus brought it to earth and paid for it with his own blood. And then finally, the Holy Spirit draws people to God and applies the gospel, the good news, the forgiveness of Christ onto people's hearts and lives as they put their faith in Christ. God gave Paul the good news to share with others. Notice how he said, the stewardship of God's grace given to me for you. So it was his because it was given to him, but it was for him to use to benefit others. Now God has given each of us the good news to share, right? He has reconciled us as we put our faith in Christ so that we might share in the ministry of reconciliation. But I believe Paul's unique circumstance, his unique life situation, was a part of that stewardship. Now, who was Paul? Was he married? Well, we're not quite sure. There's kind of a disagreement whether he was married or not. There is an idea that as a Pharisee or as a member of the Sanhedrin Council, some people argue that Sanhedrin Council members were married. That's not necessarily true. We just don't know for sure. We do know that he had a family, and in the book of Acts, let me see if I can find that, 23:16, we do find that his nephew, his sister's son, actually was the one that reported this plan to kill him, he did have family, but the idea of marriage, we're not sure. When he was, he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says that he wishes everyone was like him, meaning single. So either his wife had died, he had been divorced, or he left her behind in some city while he went on the missionary journeys. We're not quite sure. But anyway, when he wrote 1 Corinthians 7, he was describing himself as single. So let's say Paul, say he probably was single. But what other was his life situation? Well, he was an educated Jewish leader. He was highly educated. He was a Roman citizen, which is also kind of an odd arrangement, as a Jew is usually not Roman citizens. He had a radical conversion experience, and he was called to preach the gospel to Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jewish people. So that's a pretty unique situation, right, who he was. and his abilities and his giftedness and his experience. When we do, often we do some spiritual gift studies here, and there's two different studies that we do. One is called the network class, and it will come up with a servant profile for you. And so after you go through the study, you'll develop your personal, your spiritual gifts, your passion, and then your personal style. And that kind of makes up your servant profile. That's unique for you. No one else has that. The other one we often did Rick Warren's Shape for Serving God. Excuse me. And it used the word shape, S-H-A-P-E, for spiritual gift, heart, abilities, P for personal style. Wait, what is P? Come on. Personality. I had it right. And E was for experiences. So nobody has your exact shape. You know, we all have a different person. So Paul had his own, and that was part of his stewardship. So God gave him his life, everything he experienced in life. It says that God never wastes an experience. And so if you had some troubles and you went through some tough times, God will redeem them. God will use them somehow for his glory. Romans 8:28 says God causes all things to work together for good. You know, even the bad things, even the stupid things we do, God can use them and convert them to be able to make them useful for the gospel. But anyway, the grace of God, that's a part of our stewardship. Well, what about you? What is your stewardship? Who are you? And what is God calling you to do? Or maybe better yet, how is God calling you to share the gospel? Because he's calling us all to share the gospel. But how is he calling you to do that? And what's your life situation? Are you a father? No? No? Maybe not. Maybe you will be. Maybe you won't be. Are you a mother? Are you an aunt or an uncle? Are you a brother or sister? You know? I mean, what is your life situation? It's amazing how God has put us together. What is your education level? Are you married? Are you unmarried? Are you a mechanical person who likes to work with your hands and figure things out? Are you an educated person that likes to stay in the study and just study? Are you gifted and artistic and you like to sing and dance and play instruments? Or are you really, you know, more you just like to play the radio? I mean, that's about all I want to play. I mean, what who are you? How are you put together? That's all a part of your stewardship. So the question is, all of that has been given to you. What are you doing with that? How are you managing that for the one that gave it to you? So he says, if you know about the stewardship of the grace of God that's been given to me for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, whether you're a mom or dad or a father, son, daughter, whatever, God has given you special gifts and abilities and a personal situation that no one else has. As I was thinking about that, praying for 3 to 5 people, if we would list the 3 to 5 people that you have on your prayer list, let's say you would have 3 people on your prayer list that you pray for every day that don't know Jesus, and you're praying that you could the gospel would touch them. If we would take those all together, how many of those 3 people would be the same ones? I mean, let's say there's 150 people here. There's a high likelihood maybe 50 out of those would all be the same 50. Can you imagine the power of prayer? We would pray every day. We have, out of 150 people, we have 50 people praying for the exact same person every day. What's that one song about the devil lost another one? What was that? How's that phrase go? I'm free. Yeah. Talk about snatching them from the devil's hands. But that's our unique situation. That's who I am. The people I'm praying for are probably not the same ones you're praying for. That is our stewardship. That's all a part of who we are. That's our mission field. Second part of that is it's a stewardship of grace. And here we've talked about grace before, but notice it says, to me, the very least of saints, this grace was given. To me, the very least of saints, this grace was given. You know, when I think of fatherhood, I really think about the undeserved grace of being a dad. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it any more than anybody else. I know men that are married and would love to have children, and they just, for some reason, one or another, they're not. They don't have kids of their own. I know others that would love to be married so they could have a family. I know others, you know, there's maybe no hope of ever, you know, being a father. undeserved grace. It is the grace of God. These are gifts that God gives us. And we all have gifts. The scripture talks about spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12 is one of those passages that describes a whole list of spiritual gifts. But it says in verse 3, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. I think it's saying you should be grateful for the gifts, but you should also be honest with the gifts. Verse 6 goes on to say, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us should use our gifts accordingly. Grace given to us, gifts given to us. Spiritual gifts are usually called in the scriptures, it comes from the word grace, which is charis in Greek. And the M-A in the air, charisma, or charisma, means the end result of that gift of grace. The end result of that grace. And the T-A at the end, charismata, means plural. So we have spiritual gifts. All of us have gotten gifts. So a part of the stewardship that we have, that stewardship of grace, number one is the gospel, as I already said. We all have the gospel. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that I've repeated last week, I mentioned it. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So the gospel is free. It is a free gift that you did not earn. It's been offered to you. Jesus paid for it. It's not free, but it's free to you. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That is a free gift that has been entrusted to you. As you have received the gospel, as you have received the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5, then we share that ministry with others. I give that away. Even though it's not mine, I share it with others. So you have been entrusted with the gospel. Who are you sharing it with? How are you sharing the gospel? Second part of that, of what this grace of stewardship is why we're mentioning spiritual gifts. Every Christian has been given spiritual gifts, gifts by the Holy Spirit. And they are intended to be used to build up the church, to reach the lost, and to be Christ in our world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. God has given you gifts. What are you doing with those gifts? I mean, you hear repeatedly saying, you might not have the gift of intercession, but we're all called to pray. You might not have the gift of healing, but we're all called to be agents of care and love and support and caring. But we all have spiritual gifts, some servants, some preaching, some teaching. Whatever your gift is, how are you using that? And then finally, we could also talk about relational gifts, and I'm thinking about the gifts of fathers. I think fatherhood is another one of those unique stewardships. Just as Paul said that he was unworthy to receive the grace that God has given him, I often feel unworthy to be called a father. I pray that I will always remember the gift of grace of fatherhood. I didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, but God gave me the privilege and the responsibility of being a dad. For some of you, it's not being a father, maybe it's being a mother. Maybe it's being a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle or so on. Those are all gifts. Those are all God's gifts. Some men never get to have children of their own. Some remain single. Others, for one reason or another, cannot have children, don't have children. Many serve as fill-in dads for absentee fathers. And some of you have been teachers and coaches and mentors and influence on sons and daughters that that biological fathers never could be. And so these are all gifts and all stewardship that God has given us. Fatherhood, in whatever form that takes for you, is the gift of God's grace to both the dads and the children. And I made up the saying, maybe it's motherhood, maybe it's aunthood or unclehood or whatever that is, but whatever God has given you, use it to benefit the other people, the other persons. And finally, I'm not going to keep you long. I want to just direct our attention to prayers for dads. I shared early on in the beginning of this sermon series that there are two what I would call mega prayers in this book. One is chapter 1, and then in verses around 14 through 19, and then here in chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And I'm going to read that to you, but you know, I always enjoy sharing these verses with the staff at staff meeting that week of I'm going to preach it. And this week, as we went over this, I shared that I can remember first time reading this prayer as a new believer, and I got to this down around verse 18, and I thought, well, that's kind of stupid. There's not four dimensions, because it talks about the breadth and length and height and depth. And I shared that in staff meeting. I said, it's kind of odd because it talks about four dimensions, but we know there's only three dimensions, right? Length, width, and height. And so I shared that, and I think it was Josh that said, he was like trying to process that. He goes, wait a minute, you go, what's the way? And I said, there was only three dimensions. He said, well, there's a length, and there's width, and there's a height. And then he said, but then there's also a depth. And he said, height and depth are the same thing. And I thought, oh, that's true. And suddenly, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I just got just such a blessing out of that thought. Because God's love for us is deep and wide, it's wide and long and wide, but then it's as high as the heavens. God has raised us up to heavenly places in Christ. But he goes to the very depth of humanity to reach us, doesn't he? He died on the cross. It says, and we believe one of the creeds, he descended to hell. However deep you have gone, whatever is your rock bottom, he has been there. So God's love is wide and long, but it's high as the heavens and it's deep as the pit of despair that humanity can get to. He has been there for you. Psalm 139 says, if I go to the farthest place in the world, if I go to the depths of hell, the Lord is there. He has not forsaken me. And so as I think about this prayer, and I'm going to read it to you now, it says, I pray. Now keep in mind, this is yes, sir, Matt, you going to say something? Go. You're going to talk about time? Life. Yeah, well, that's the depth part maybe, huh? Life, it might be. Yeah. Okay, I give you that. God's love is bigger than all of that. Isn't that awesome? And now this verse 14, is picking up from verse 1, where he says, I, Paul. He says, for this reason, I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in his spirit, through his spirit in the inner man. Anybody need to be strengthened with power? So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Dwell in me through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled up with all the fullness of God. As a father, I confess, I need your prayers. Amen? I need my wife's prayers. I need my children's prayers. I need my church family's prayers, that I might be the father God has called me to be. As a mother, as a son, daughter, wife, husband, whatever, whomever you are, we all need prayers of one another to be faithful stewards of the gospel, to be the man or woman that God is calling us to be the witness that God is calling us to be for Christ, that we might use these grace gifts, that we might be faithful stewards of all that God has given us. Well, how well we handle that stewardship is really up to us. Amen? God has given us all the same. And he's given us also all differently. But we have the gospel. So whether I'm the uncaring, hard-nosed dad at times, you know, it's kind of interesting being married and watching and being a pastor and watching a lot of ladies and guys. It turns out that it seems a lot of times the mothers take the brunt of the pain of families. Because, I don't know, there's a certain tender spot in the mother that they are just broken and crushed over things. And men sometimes, at least for me anyway, I'm able to kind of disconnect from all of that. And it's like, yeah, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? It's just you kind of compartmentalize it and like, yeah, whatever. You know, I'll deal with something else. You know, it's kind of like if you ignore it, the problem goes away. That's true, right? Isn't that true? It is not true. But that's what we guys act like. We just like, well, we just ignore it, it goes away, you know. And mothers just seem to hold that, and they're always burdened by that. But whether I'm the hard-nosed guy or the distant person, or whether I'm the loving, encouraging dad, the sacrificing dad that God's called me to be, I need your prayers. I need the Lord to continue to work in me that I'll be the man of God he wants me to be. And so I want to really close this service by just praying for guys, and all of us, but especially guys. I have an end of the sermon notes, and I think it'll be on the screen. There it is. On the sermon now, it has dads up there. Sermon notes, I have them underlined. But I'm going to pray this prayer for dads, and I want you to pray with me. And if you have somebody in mind, like a special dad, your dad, and he is around with us still on this earth, you might want to put his name in. Or maybe you have somebody else that really needs your prayer. Maybe it's a son, or maybe it's a daughter, or maybe it's a mother. Whoever, you put their name into this prayer. And this is one of those prayers that Darlene and I are continuing to pray, that mega one from chapter one, and also this one. And we're going to keep praying. We're going to, what does it say, push? Pray until something happens. And there's no end to the prayers. We're just going to keep praying. And I encourage you to do that. So I'm going to have all the guys to stand up. You don't have to be a father or a husband even. Just stand. I want to pray for you all. Amen? I want you all to join me, dads as well, as we pray this prayer. I pray that he would grant dads, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in dads' hearts through faith, that dads, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that dads may be filled up with all the fullness of God. That dads may be filled up, fill us up, O God, to all the fullness of God. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.